Bill Clinton's book launch and all the media attention it's getting come shortly after the week-long coverage of the death of Ronald Reagan. Our critic at large, John Powers, wonders why Americans found these two presidents so captivating.
Back when Bill Clinton was president, writer Kurt Anderson dubbed him our entertainer-in-chief. Clinton has briefly reassumed that office with the release of his new doorstop of a memoir. Newscasts show footage of people lining up to buy it. Pundits praise or lambaste both him and his book. As for Clinton himself, he's seemingly everywhere. On 60 Minutes, on Oprah, on Fresh Air. As garrulous as ever, but thinner. What's been driving Clinton mania is not liberal bias, any more than conservative ideology lay behind the week-long wall-to-wall coverage of Ronald Reagan's death a few weeks ago. Rather, we're caught up in the self-reinforcing logic of media culture, which is constantly searching for the one big story that will dominate popular conversation. Everybody wants to be talking about what everybody's talking about. Heck, that's what I'm doing. Love him or not, nobody makes a better topic of conversation than Bill Clinton, who doesn't just enjoy attention, he takes it like vitamins. And millions are happy to watch him do it. Like Reagan before him, Clinton pulled off the rare feat in modern America. He not only served two full terms, but he left office popular. Not all presidents resonate, but Clinton undeniably did. He became part of the national psyche as Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, or the first President Bush did not. The great allure of Ronald Reagan was always the power of his iconic exterior. We associate him with taglines. There you go again. Make my day. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. You knew that what you saw was largely what you got. Nobody, friend or foe, ever thought there was something tricky going on behind Reagan's public persona. His inner life was wholly irrelevant. The pull of Bill Clinton is almost precisely the opposite. Sure, he's a gifted performer who knows how to sell his ideas. He learned a lot from Reagan about wooing public opinion. Yet what makes Clinton compelling is his mysterious, conflicted interiority. His uncommon intelligence keeps colliding with his unruly desires. He wears his libido on his sleeve. In his book, he talks about living two parallel lives, one public, one totally private. And while this may smack a bit of psychobabble, most Americans know what he's talking about. They always thought there was far more to the man than meets the eye. In promoting the book, Clinton has engaged in the familiar rituals of celebrities who publish lucrative memoirs. He's revealed embarrassing truths. He's admitted to sin. He's even cried, tears coming to his eyes when Dan Rather showed him an old clip of his mother. That's why it seemed fitting that he should turn up talking to Oprah, who perfected the confessional mode of modern TV, in which a studio audience's oohs and applause offer a form of absolution by media. As president, Clinton was often compared to Oprah. Like her, he hugged people and felt their pain. And as a guest, he sat comfortably on her couch. She asked rude questions about Monica nobody else would dare. And knowing how to behave in such a forum, he gave answers rooted in his unhappy childhood. Although Clinton had in several ways a very successful presidency, his place in our national mythology finally has little to do with balancing the budget or leading the country through economic boom years. The simple fact is he's compelling to watch. He's sexy. He's charismatic. He's a star, even to those who hate him. So was Reagan, of course, but in a very different way. He came from old Hollywood, and in keeping with that tradition, he remained distant, above it all, crafting a presidency that was mythic. While Clinton himself is also larger than life, with a blend of gifts and failings that's positively Shakespearean, his brand of stardom mirrors the new Hollywood, chased by paparazzi and surrounded by prying reporters eager to spill the details of anyone's private life. He's the first president of the tabloid age. Some reviewers have complained that Clinton's memoir spends too much time on personal things and not enough on the principles and practices of his presidency. Maybe so. Then again, this is not wholly surprising in a book called My Life, especially a book written by an ex-president who knows that people are more curious about him than about public policy in the 1990s. Even if his critics don't get it, Clinton has always had an uncanny eye for what the public is thinking about. And in the summer of 2004, it's his personality, stupid.
John Powers is deputy editor and media columnist for LA Weekly. His new book, Sore Winners, will be published in late July.